Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Let's start here. So obviously, you know, you may be hearing for some time now over the past couple of days that the first phase of the new law that ultimately will introduce a demerit system that can strip your license away, right? So if you are one of those people who is a regular offender on the road, you have to really think very carefully about that, because we are now at a point where we're very, very close to getting you losing your license ultimately. So the second phase of the Administrative Adjudication of Road Traffic Offences Amendment Act, ARTO, will come into effect in a number of cities and municipalities on the 1st of December. This is after President Cyril Ramaphosa signed it into law on Friday. So just to help us unpack what this actually means and how it's going to work, and particularly the demerit system, let's speak to the Road Traffic Infringement Authority spokesperson, Monde Mkalipi, who is on the line with us this evening. Mr. Mkalipi, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for your time. Good evening.
Good evening, Pamela. Thank you for the time once again, and thank you for letting us speak with the listeners of Kaya once again. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's one of those, no, and I know. Sometimes there is a new law or something that comes into being, and we give nothing but bad publicity, and everybody wants to say all the negative things. And I was saying to my colleagues, wait. Before we bash this whole thing, we need to understand what it entails and what the intentions were in the very first place. So let's just start there. How the process will actually unfold and what it means for the regular drivers like myself and many who are listening to the radio.
Yes, Pamela, I think really it's really going to help all of us as road users. Because in most cases, there will be a lot of misconceptions when a new piece of legislation is being introduced. Mm. And I think also from your intro, the kind of misperceptions that are there to say, well, it is going to take away our driving licenses. It is going to, we are going to have vehicles impounded. No, and a very big no. I think the starting point is that we have a huge challenge in South Africa. I'm sure you'd hear during certain periods in our country, after the festive season, after the Easter period, there will be huge outcry that, the number of fatalities that occurred on our roads keep on rising. Mm. And now the question will be, what is government doing about this? What is government doing? Why is government not doing anything about it? Mm. Now, the Administrative Adjudication of Road Traffic Offences Act, as you have rightly pointed out, seeks to really address that particular challenge. To say, as road users, we need to change our behavior. Mm-hmm. And the ultimate intention of this law is really to come in as a road safety intervention. That is its key objective, to intervene in the state of the problems that we have on our roads. Mm-hmm. drunken driving, people who are speeding on our roads. So that is what it really seeks to do, to really address this particular challenge. And now ARTO is also going to mark the departure from the legislation that is being implemented to the rest of the country. Mm-hmm. As you are well aware, those of us who live within Tshwane and in Joburg, this legislation is already in place,
Yes. But
just part of it. Now, it means that from the 1st of December, as you have rightly pointed out, is going to be expanded to other municipalities and to other metros in the country.
Okay.
And now how it comes in, as the RTIA, we are an adjudicator. We stand in between the traffic issuing authorities in the form of JMPD and TMPD and other issuing authorities, because they are the ones who issue traffic fines. So where we come in as the RTIA is to really indicate to the road users all these rights and options that they have in terms of administration of their traffic infringements.
Mm.
Because we are trying to depart from a regime where if you receive a traffic infringement or a traffic fine of 500 rand, the only option that you have is that you must go and pay. So ARTO says, no, you should be afforded with other opportunities where you'll be able to go and resolve this particular traffic infringement. One, you should be given this 50% option to pay in a discounted fee. And two, and perhaps more importantly, is the fact that you have a right to dispute an infringement, to put a challenge and say, no, this was unfairly issued against me. And as part of that, the infringer or whoever is alleged to have committed an infringement should provide all the relevant evidence in support of the challenge that he or she is putting forward.
Mm-hmm.
And thirdly, mm-hmm. Pamela, yeah. Let me just finish yep. just this point. Apologies.
Sure.
The third option that is in place is the one of paying installments. If perhaps one can't afford, let's say, 10,000 or 5,000 traffic fines, you're given an opportunity to come forward and pay an installment. And also the other one is that one of redirecting traffic fines. If a company like Kaya has got vehicles, you've got your employees, your journalists and other colleagues, they use your vehicles that are registered under Kaya FM.
Mm-hmm.
And then when those infringements come to the employer, then the employer should be able to redirect those traffic fines to its employees. Yes.
Mm. Okay. Let's take it step by step and speak of, for instance, I just want to be clear and maybe correct me if I'm wrong. You are differentiating between what is a serious infringement and a not so serious infringement. In other words, drinking and driving, speeding sits in a different category to minor offences. Like I don't know.
Yes. You are right, Pamela. You know, you are correct, because drunken driving, it's still a traffic law violation. But of a serious nature, and then is treated as a criminal matter, because that is where the ARTO is also departing from. ARTO seeks to decriminalize minor traffic offences, these which are called infringements.
Yes.
And then you have the major offences that come in the form of a drunken driving, and as well as what is called excessive driving, excessive mm-hmm. speeding. It means you exceed the speed limit mm-hmm. on a particular zone by more than 40 kilometers per hour.
Mm-hmm.
If it's 60 within Joburg mm-hmm. and then you are caught driving at 101 kilometers per hour,
mm-hmm.
then that is excessive speeding and that is a criminal offense.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are still driving at 75 on a speed area of 60, that is still treated as an infringement.
Mm-hmm.
The major offenses, drunken driving, excessive speeding, those go to court. So our mandate as the RTIA is mainly to deal with what are called infringements, because it's to avoid to have these minor offences or infringements being taken to court. So the intention is to have them dealt with administratively.
Okay.
So that is how it works, yes.
So that I think is very important. And when we speak about the disputes that you spoke of, what mechanism are you going to use? So we're not going to be going to court for a minor offense, for instance. But then what mechanism are you going to use if I really do want to dispute this and there is a contention on what the issue is?
Yes, as the Road Traffic Infringement Authority, Pamela, we've got systems. We have people who are appointed in terms of the ARTO Act who are called representation officers.
Mm-hmm.
So as the infringer, if you really feel undone, you want to dispute an infringement, you are provided with a documentation in the form of a form. It's mm-hmm. just a very, very short form
mm-hmm.
where you are going to just state your case in that particular space for an affidavit. Indicate why you really feel that this particular traffic infringement was unfairly issued unto you.
Mm.
So you provide those reasons, and then that information is brought to us. Our representation officers, they assess your submission, and then they make a determination if perhaps this particular ticket should be cancelled, or they can simply turn down the application, and therefore the call will still stand that, well, the infringer has committed or violated a traffic law. So that's how it works. And then when the RTIA puts that kind of like a final word to say, well, you cannot, this particular ticket cannot be cancelled, you still have another option
mm-hmm.
in terms of the ARTO Act to mm-hmm. appeal the outcome of the Road Traffic Infringement Authority. You can appeal and take that appeal to another level, which is called ARTO Appeals Tribunal.
Mm-hmm.
That is also where you are going to submit your representation and say perhaps you are disputing the outcome of the Road Traffic Infringement Authority. on these particular grounds. So it's quite important. And we should also bear in mind, Pamela, that when we really escalating it to such level, there are also some administrative fees that come with it.
Who's paying those?
Yeah, of course, the appellant, the one who's appealing, should really make sure that he or she is able to fund all those admin fees that are required.
Let me just ask you, the tribunal itself, is it independent?
It is independent. In terms of the ARTO Act, the ARTO Appeals Tribunal is completely independent. And as you are busy putting together all the institutional mechanisms to implement ARTO as we speak now, we are trying to make sure that even in terms of a resource allocation, a resource appropriation, there won't be any conflict of interest between the Road Traffic Infringement Authority and the ARTO Appeals Tribunal. Because if we are sourcing from the same pool in terms of the resources, then that could be a big issue. So we want to make sure that these are completely independent. There is no cross-pollination in terms of funding between these two. One gets its fund from its own pool, and another one is funded from a different pool altogether, so that there can be any, there should not be any conflict of interest between the two bodies.
I can tell you now, Mr. Mkalipi, that part of what concerns people listening right now, they would like you to assure them that, you know, RTIA is totally independent, for instance, from JMPD, PMD, Pretoria MDP? Yes. And the, obviously the others that will follow from other municipalities. In other words, if I now have an issue with a ticket that I was, that was issued to me by JMPD, and I come to you, that you're not kind of the same people. And, you know, and of course, you're not going to now you're just not interested in taking my money, but really are interested in hearing my story and are going to be fair in how you're going to adjudicate my matter.
Yes, we must be completely fair. That is why, you know, with the introduction of the Administrative Adjudication of Road Traffic Offences Act, there is that strong indication that we are making that this is a completely new dispensation in terms of management or administration of traffic fines, because you had a system where infringers felt that they were experiencing some sort of force in terms of saying you commit an infringement and therefore you must pay.
Mm-hmm.
So the way we come in, we are also taking that kind of thought to the traffic officers themselves, that when they perhaps apprehend an infringer on the roadside, they are obligated to really communicate all these options to the infringer. It should not be a situation where you are caught perhaps violating a traffic law and therefore you are told that you must go and pay. The traffic officers themselves are being trained by the RTMC to say now we are entering a new dispensation altogether. We need to indicate to the road users that you do have these particular rights. The right to appeal, the right to submit a representation, the right to have the ticket redirected, the right to call for this 50% discount that I've spoken about. So this is a new system altogether, a new regime, and a new way of doing things completely when it comes to how we deal with infringements in South Africa. And as you have rightly pointed out, we are within Tshwane and in Joburg, and now we're also going to proceed to the rest of the municipalities in the country. And above all, we're going to have one common point where infringements are registered, or the National Contravention Register, where all infringers who are in Gqeberha, in Cape Town, eThekwini, Musina, they are going to be under one system in terms of administration of their traffic fines, because you have a situation where road users in one jurisdiction are subjected to a certain and then you commit an infringement perhaps in Bombela, and then when you come to Johannesburg, it's checked here, it's not showing.
It's not there.
But now, moving forward, there's going to be one traffic infringements are going to be treated under one roof, under one National Contravention Register, regardless of the place where you commit an infringement, is going to be picked up anywhere in the country.
Okay, So having said that, let us say I get a ticket from JMPD, one is issued by the TMPD, and so it goes in different districts. And I think, is it 15 infringements that would qualify you for a review or, I suppose, a revoking of the license? Talk to us about the many different chances you have to redeem yourself before you get to the 15. I know that after a particular period, you can sort of, I suppose, rehabilitate yourself. And some of those points you can regain. Maybe explain that process to us.
Yes, that is a very critical provision of the ARTO Act, Pimelo. That is the points demerit system. Mm. The much talked about points demerit system, which is going to mean that it's coming in as a deterrent. As you have pointed out earlier on, that the main challenge, we have an ever-increasing number of fatalities that occur on our roads. So what type of a deterrent that we're putting in place to make sure that there is compliance when it comes to obeying traffic laws on our roads? So this is how it starts. If you commit perhaps an infringement, you caught going through a red robot, and then you receive an infringement, and then upon payment of that particular infringement, let's say 500 rand to pay it, over and above the 500, the fine that you have paid, there are going to be demerit points that are going to be meted against you or allocated to you. It could be 4 demerit points. Let's say 4 demerit points are allocated for going through a red traffic light. And then perhaps you break another law, and then your demerit points, they keep on rising. I think that's another point that we wish to make to the listeners of Kaya, Pimel, that we all start at zero. Because sometimes people tend to think to put this thing upside down, that you're going to be allocated 15 demerit points and then there's going to be a deduction. There's no deduction. We all start at zero. We go up. 4 demerit points for going through a red traffic light, and then another 3 perhaps, and maybe another 4 for failing to wear a seat belt. And then maybe, let's say, you get another 6, let's say, for drunken driving to those who drink. So if the points build up until 15, remember, one infringement can have 4 demerit points to it. So if the points build up until 15, 15 is the main threshold where everything now must not go beyond. The minute your points demerit exceed 15, once you land at 16, then your driving license is going to be suspended. You get to be suspended from driving on our roads for a period of 3 months. And then let's say after 3 months you are allowed to come back. Let's say now you change your the way you do things on the road. You drive well for another period of 3 months, and then your demerit points, they come to 6 to 14. You drive well for another period of 3 months. They keep on reducing. Every 3 months where you drive well, you don't commit an infringement, they keep on coming down, because demerit points are not permanent. So they might come down and even come up to zero. Mm. So it happens sometimes that, you have people who are called habitual infringers. You are at 15, you exceed, you hit at 16. And then if you go beyond that threshold of 16, 3 times, and then your driving license is going to be taken away from you, because the driving license is the state's property. It is borrowed to all of us so that we can operate on these roads. So the state takes it away, and then you'll be expected to go and restart. And as part of that restarting, as you have rightly said, you are going to be subjected to what is called driver rehabilitation program. The driver rehabilitation program, it really exposes it to this particular habitual infringer on the types of dangers that he or she could have exposed other road users by keep on violating the laws of the road. Mm. You could have skipped a red traffic light. You could have hit a bus full of school-going children by doing that. You could have hit perhaps an elderly or any person going to work by going through a red traffic light. So you get exposed to that. After that mandatory rehabilitation, then you get to get your learner's license again. You are allowed to come back onto the road. But with the hope, the intention is that we really rehabilitated this particular individual so that he or she cannot commit or violate traffic laws to such an extent that he continues to expose other road users in danger. So this is how the system is really going to work. So the points demerit system is going to come in. As you have pointed out, you know, intro, Pamela, 1st December, we are phasing in on the 69 jurisdictions. And then 1st April 2026, going into 144. And then the points demerit system and the driver rehabilitation program you mentioned, those are coming in on the 1st of September 2026. So as you can see, the points demerit system, it really comes in quite very, very late in the process, because what we are doing as the Road Traffic Infringement Authority is to really continue to educate and inform road users about all these benefits of the ARTO process, besides all the misconceptions that might be there, that driving licenses perhaps might be taken away. Because as I've just indicated, the driving license has to be taken away after the person has really committed so many infringements on the road. Because imagine, if you reach 15 demerit points, you get there about three times, you exceed that set threshold of 15 three times. You know, what kind of perhaps damage that this particular individual could have done to other road users. So this is the intention of the system, to really assist us to change the way we do things on our roads, to improve so that we can have a reduction on the fatalities that occur on our roads. Okay. So that is the main intention of the system, Pamela.
Ooh, I'm scared. Okay, Mr. Mkalipi, please don't leave. And the intention is not for us to debate this. We just want clarity. I do want to bring in Outa, Wayne Duvenage. They took government to court over ARTO, winning in 2022. And then it went on appeal, and we're here now. So, Wayne, thank you so much for joining us. I know that you've had concerns with this system. Tell us what your concerns are. Good evening.
Good evening. Thanks. So look, no one bemoans a demerit point system and its intentions. The problem with ARTO is the administration thereof.
Mm-hmm.
We are not in Australia. We're not in Europe. We're in South Africa, where the road traffic management system, the vehicle registry system, is inaccurate. Grossly inaccurate. There are far too many cloned number plates on the roads. So I can drive in a car. Let's say you drive a Polo and I've got a Polo. I will put your number plate on my car. The chances of me ever getting caught, I'm not saying I'm going to do this, is very slim. And you'll pick up my fines. You won't know those. You'll start getting demerit points. It also depends on how they get the fines to you. If you don't have an email address, they've got to post it to you. They rely on the post office. The fine gets late to you. You don't qualify for the if it ever gets to you, by the way, if it ever gets to you, you don't qualify for the discounted rates. It becomes an administrative nightmare. I promise you this is going to be a nightmare. So let me just explain to you what we did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going back a number of years. We got all the leading players and concerned industries, fleet companies, AA, and civil society. And we had a conference about this, not because we wanted to defy it, but because we wanted to work. We want ARTO to work meaningfully.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got a lot of concerns and problems. We invited the RTIA to our conference. They accepted the invitation because we wanted them to answer questions. On the day of the conference, they didn't pitch up. We had the conference anyway. It was a workshop. And we summarized our concerns and sent it to the RTIA.
Mm-hmm.
We still have not heard from them to this day. Now, this is how your government engages with civil society. I'm talking meaningful engagement. We attended their road shows around the country. We attended at least five of them. It was a joke.
So
it was not meaningful consultation. So these are the problems we've got. And now, just to summarize, we saw it on the ETOL matter. We have a government that thinks that if you just put something into law, it works. And it doesn't work like that. That's why ETOL's failed. And we've been saying to the RTIA, meet with us, meet with the industry, so we can resolve these problems. Because if you don't, when this stuff starts to unfold...
I don't have much time, I want to get to the nub of the issue. So what would be ideal in your eyes? You're saying that, you know, administratively, we're not doing very well. What ideally should be happening?
You have to have an accurate road vehicle registry system. If it's not accurate, and it's not accurate by a long way, if you cannot get fines to people, on time, if you can't post it and you can't explain, you can't just assume that everybody's on the internet, everybody's got an email address. Email addresses change. People leave companies. So we need to talk to them. We need to sit down, and we need answers on the tribunals, the whole administrative process. If not, I can assure you the scheme will collapse in on itself, and then you have a mess, and then everybody looks at each other and blames society. And that's exactly what they tried to do on e-tolls when we warned them it's going to fail, and it failed dismally.
Okay.
It didn't even get to 40% compliance.
Okay.
So you don't want to have an uncompliant society. But government forces the public to become non-compliant because they cannot administer their own systems. And this is a reality that the RTIA does not want to face.
Okay. Mr. Mkalipi, do you want to respond to that? And I'll just quickly read one of the other two questions. Another question coming through, and I think you'll be able to respond to all of these. One is saying, how are you going to deal with the backlog? For instance, if there is a backlog of those who are disputing their fines, do you have the systems in place? I suppose it's quite similar to what Outer is saying.
All right. Thank you, Pamela. Good evening, Wayne. Thank you for joining us. I think let me start with the last question as to how are we going to deal with the backlog. Well, we experienced a huge backlog at some point, Pamela, especially during COVID, and we're really able to overcome that. The Road Traffic Infringement Authority were able to allow our employees to come in and work after hours to really deal with the backlog. Currently, we are not experiencing any backlog. And I think the results, the empirical evidence that we have in front of us in terms of what we did in the two jurisdictions, China and Joburg, where we implemented the tests or the pilots, the information that we have tells us that we are fit and very much ready to implement ARTO throughout the country. The concerns that are raised by Wayne, well, I've noted them, but I just wish to indicate that, you know, when it comes to implementation of ARTO is not only implemented on the points demerit system, implemented only in the first world countries. Here in front of me, I do know of a number of countries, some of which are in the same space as South Africa, also on the African continent. We'll go to countries such as Tunisia, Morocco, the Sudan, Ethiopia, the DRC, Mozambique. The system is up and running. There are about 10 countries on the African continent who are implementing the system. So to really say ARTO or the points demerit system is a first world system that is inaccurate. And looking also at the kind of challenges that we have in South Africa, we really need a system like this. We need a system that is going to change the state of affairs, because it is not a child's play to see a country losing about 40 lives a day, losing about 12,000 to 14,000 lives in a year.
Yeah.
And we keep on raising this matter. So it's important that government intervenes, and government should intervene decisively. And we should indicate that we have received a number of support praises from a number of stakeholders who feel that the system is long overdue, particularly the implementation of the points demerit system. We are ready to implement the system. And I think just to cover it all, the tests, you know, I hear all the points that Wayne is raising. That's the main reason why we conducted the pilots in the two jurisdictions, and the results are informing us that we can roll out the system throughout the country.
Mr. Mkalipi, just meet Wayne. He just wants to have coffee. Meet him so you can talk. That's all he's asking for. Let me take a quick voice note before I come back to you, Wayne. Let's take a listen.
I've got a question for a gentleman there. In an instant where these infringements are committed by a foreign national, I mean with a driver's license that is not a South African driver's license, what is it that they are doing? What is it that it's going to happen? Or is this law meant to punish more for a South Africans only? That is my question.
All right. Mr. Mkalipi?
Yes, that question keeps coming up a lot, Pamela. It's coming up a lot because, as you are all aware, we get a number of visitors, some coming to conduct business in South Africa, And as part of the development of the regulations, we have noted that. And we said, one, we have also engaged with a road traffic management corporation to find out what systems are in place on their side that can really assist. There is what is called the traffic registration number, or the TRN, which is normally given to all the foreign drivers who are driving into the Republic, so that every infringement that you commit in the Republic, it can be recorded against that particular traffic registration number. And perhaps prior to you leaving the country, you should be able to address and resolve all those traffic infringements that you could have committed in the Republic. And the second option that is also in the table, where perhaps there is no TRN in use, is also to make use of the passport number of whoever is coming into the Republic. And then every infringement that is committed, or road traffic infringement committed by that particular individual, it is recorded against that particular passport number. So we have looked at this quite very, very intensely, and we do have plans to address this particular matter so that we do address even those who are visiting the country. Because some of them, well, you know, they become part of the road traffic network, and therefore they may perhaps commit infringements. So we cannot perhaps say no because you don't have a South African driving license, and therefore we're going to let you get away with it. So we do have plans in place, the TRN as well as the passport number, to make sure that we capture and make those who have committed infringement to face the relevant consequences.
All right. I'm going to bring in Wayne. But I mean, before we go, Wayne, with yourself and Mr. Mkalipi. Mr. Mkalipi, I mean, I know I make fun of this, but quite seriously, I mean, I think it is important to be meeting with you know, what would be the public's opinion and organizations like Outer. It would be nice if you guys could see each other before the 1st of December when everybody has to come on board. I mean, could you not engage? I don't think, Wayne, this is also bad. I think everybody wants to see the death toll come down. I think, you know, you need to talk, and maybe less mudslinging at each other, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, as I said, we reached out. They didn't bother to come. We've been to all their, a number of their engagement, public engagement sessions a number of years ago, going back to 2016, 2017, 2018. And I'm telling you, it was a farce. We wrote to them.
Yeah, but Wayne, don't call them names if they want them to have tea. Don't call them names.
No, okay. I'm just saying this is what happened. But let's put it this way, you know. I agree we've got to bring down the death rate. We nobody bemoans that. We're not saying break the law and run up demerit points and that. We want road safety. The problem with road safety in this country is that if you do not have visible policing, I mean, you know, you see them every day. You see taxis and vehicles on the road that are not roadworthy, but they run. They run, nobody stops them. I can tell you now that in this country, and I've said it before, if I had no driver's license, I had no proper vehicle license, and my car was unroadworthy, I would probably be able to get away with driving on the South African roads for the rest of my life. Now, that's a sad reality. So where's our visible policing? When are we going to tackle unroadworthy vehicles? You know, roadworthy testing centers, we have uncovered so much corruption. Mm. You cannot get a new driver's license as a youngster in this country without paying a 3,500 rand bribe.
Yeah, that's
when
true.
Is the government going to fix all of these issues before it starts to come with complicated administrative systems that they know they're going to have extreme difficulty in policing? So we want to find the solutions with them. Mm-hmm. But if they don't want to engage with civil society, what are we supposed to do? Barge in?
I'll tell you what, we've got a solution. We've got a solution. We're going to sit nicely together. I promise you, I'm going to invite everyone here. Yes, Mr. Mkalipi, you're going to come here, have coffee on me. Yes, Mr. Mkalipi.
Yes.
No, I did not want to, because now the challenge is that Wayne is mentioning this matter for the first time, for the second time. I didn't want to say this, really. I think it will really assist that we proceed in the spirit that we are really mentioning, that let's have an engagement, a constructive engagement around this particular matter, because as Wayne indicating, their organization is equally concerned about the carnage that occurs on our roads. Mm. So I think perhaps we should proceed on those bases with all the humility and respect, you know, to my colleague across.
I like that.
I think it will really help a lot. Yeah.
No. I appreciate that both. Thank you very much, Wayne Duvenich, for coming through.
Let's do that.
Thank you very much. Mwandem Kalipi is also the Road Traffic Infringements Authority spokesperson. Guys, it's, you know, I laugh a little bit, but I think it's important. I think we'll try and make sure that this does happen, because all of us are concerned about the deaths on our roads. Nobody wants to see the kind of carnage that we're seeing, but we need to find a balance. And I suppose all of us also need to understand how the system is going to work. They also need to tell us, you know, how they're going to make sure certain things are happening, how we're going to deal with corruption, all of that. So we've taken a bit more time than we should have, but I think it was important.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.